Hello, this is Rose Diamond from Earth Wisdom Action, tribeintransition.net. I'm introducing a series of interviews with ordinary, extraordinary people here in Golden Bay at the top of the South Island of New Zealand who are making a difference by living their passion, acting local, thinking global, and supporting the emergence of a new culture which is peaceful, harmonious, creative, just, and unified. And today I have with me Martine Bouyer, who everybody in the Bay will know as our Tasman District Councillor in her second term and doing a fantastic job. So welcome, Martine.
Thank you, Rose. Great to be here.
So I know you have a vision for Golden Bay. I think let's start with a vision and then go backwards.
Ooh, wow, that's big. That's big, because I always find when I go to put it into words, it's I can see it, I've got it in my mind, but let's see how I can go at putting it into a framework. I just see Golden Bay and the top of the South, the world really, but let's just stick with what's local, as a very diverse place with a lot of different people, tribes, ways of living. It's quite a patchwork, and I actually feel that really in Golden Bay we concentrate. We're like an almost like the microcosm of the macrocosm. We have all sorts of, you know, we have farmers and artists and business people and fishermen all rubbing up against each other, and the travellers, of course, and the tourism. It's a real little jambalaya of exquisite people. So I have a vision for lifestyle, diverse lifestyles. I think we could be a real showcase in Golden Bay for different ways of living that can live collaboratively and alongside each other. You know, you often hear, especially in council, about, you know, different lifestyles just not gelling with each other. And I don't believe that. I actually think humans are quite self-regulating. And even if you get a little bit of chaos as people rub up against each other, they work it out. They can work it out. There's a will in Golden Bay, a real will to do this. And people feel stymied because of council regulations and central government regulations. They don't actually feel they can live the kind of lifestyle they want to here. So I'm big on cooperative housing and shared land and all those sorts of issues.
Absolutely. I know this is a vision that's actually in the collective now. You know, I think that was definitely being picked up last Sunday when we did the Earth Wisdom Action Forum here, that many people are sort of tuning in to the fact that Golden Bay, like many other places in the world, you know, is a place of special energy, and that there's the potential here for it to be like a showcase for sustainable, excellent sustainable practice. And of course, you know, which is what you're saying. And of course, there's a big gap between, even though there's a lot of that in place already, there are many, I mean, that's what people come here for. Many people come here for, I think, is to live a sustainable lifestyle, to live with the land, to live in community, to be peaceful, to be creative. And yet there's still a gap between the potential of that and where we are now.
Reality.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I know you and I have talked a lot about this vision of actually linking the what's actually happening already, and helping people, providing some sort of support where people can take that to its next level.
Absolutely. I think you and I, Rose, are like quite a few people at the moment. We're bridges into the new energy. That's how I see it. We are the people who maybe have a foot in the old world and a foot in the new world, and we are bridging it, because up until now, those worlds just haven't met, or they've rubbed up rather roughly against each other. So I think there's a lot of bridging energy, and I see it in a lot of the younger ones and a lot of the older ones around our age too. So that's kind of exciting, even though it's a little frustrating, because I feel like I've been at this cutting edge for decades and you have too, you know, and it's like, but now it's time. It's, I really feel that it is time. No more talking about it. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So there's that's where the wisdom part and the action part come together. That's, I think the wisdom is like, well, from what place are we, you know, we're moving into something new, we're creating something new, you know, we can call it a new paradigm, whatever you like to call it. But it's really based, I mean, it's not actually new in a way. It's actually remembering who we really are.
In essence, yeah. We've been a long way away from who we are.
Yes.
That's how I see it.
Yes.
We've been conditioned and trained to be away from who we are.
Yes.
In essence.
So it's like how we actually embody and live those values. You know, it's easy enough to talk about, you know, let's be peaceful. But actually in our daily life, how peaceful are we in our interactions? Or so that's an important part of it, I see. It's not just about rushing into action, saying, yeah, rah, rah, let's get this together. And it's about how we actually embody that diversity and unity in community.
Absolutely. And I do think that the political is personal issue, is that comes back to our own fragmentation. And I know I'm going through a real process at the moment because I'm in the world of politics, strangely enough. And, you know, I live in this wonderful community here. I grapple sometimes with the integrating of those two, but that's where I'm really at the moment. And I'd like to give you a bit of an example, if I can, of something very real that's just happened in the last few days, where, and people have probably heard this, it's been on national news and everything this morning, but there was a situation where the police came down very heavy on someone who had a different opinion, who were outspoken about a particular issue, and came down very heavy-handed. These people and other people who knew them contacted me and said, oh, what do we do? You know, this is just not okay. And when I looked at what had happened and how heavy-handed the police had come in, and this is not against the police, it's just talking about the old systems that still really need refining. And they came in very heavy, didn't deal with it well at all. Now, my first instinct was to go into action. You know, something needs to happen. So I did. I went to the media. I went, you know, I did a lot of kind of organizing, got victim support for these people, and, you know, really just sort of my first instinct was to do something. And I think that's okay, you know, because something needed to be done immediately to care for those people and to point out the injustice. I didn't want it to just be swept under the carpet, as these things always are or often are. And then there's that. After that calms down a little and you feel that situation's being held, it's like stepping back and going, wow, this is really interesting for these people who live a very organized, kind of controlled, predictable life, maybe. And that's an assumption, but that's just my take on it. And I thought, this is going to really shake something up to a new level, you know. And maybe I should, there's the little doubting part came in of me, oh, maybe I shouldn't have jumped in and got so, and you know, this is where I'm having to integrate both sides, because I can step back and see the big picture, and I can see that something will come out of this where these people feel so supported by their community. But actually it's okay. I kind of did action wisdom around the other way, and it was okay. I just realized, as long as you keep both perspectives, because I think you can get lost in either if you don't have the balance of the two. And this is where I'm really being called on to pull those two worlds together, whereas at times I've kept them separate. Yeah.
Yes. And I think we have to remember that we're in a process of experimentation. That, you know, as we move into something new, as we create something new, none of us actually know how to do that yet. It's because it's new.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to be prepared for the fact that we're going to make so-called mistakes. You know, the things are not always going to work out the way we want them to. But it's like just keep experimenting and keep taking the actions and then keep reflecting on the actions. And I think one of the motivations behind having the forum on Sunday, the Earth Wisdom Action Forum, was to actually bring people together who are already doing this work, you know, all over the Bay and maybe elsewhere too, so that we can support each other more, so that we can. And I know one of the things I was hearing very loudly from that gathering was, we want more conversations.
Yes.
I think conversation is, you know, an open conversation where we're really listening to each other is so key to be able to move forward in a creative way.
I believe that too, because, you know, when you look at the world around us, it's kind of old, because the material is the last to come into form, you know, and everything that we see around us has started as a thought or an idea. And talking and visioning and imagining and seeing and speaking and you know, bouncing off each other in a creative way like that is the forerunner to it actually coming out in form. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So we're talking about sort of multi-levels of things happening here. Mm. One is to actually have the vision, and I know we could say more about that vision, but to have the vision, to really know what the values are, to live the values, to talk to with each other, and to take action and reflect on that and share what's happening. So there's many different levels of... So, I mean, I personally take quite a long-term view with it. I think something can, you know, I mean, it's already happening. It's been happening, as you say, for decades, really. Mm. And that's why Golden Bay is so interesting, because there are people who have been living here for decades with sustainable housing, you know, living on the land in a sustainable way, creating community, being creative. Mm. It's already been happening for decades, but it's like, how do we then, what would that, would the next... sort of level of that be? And if we're talking about Golden Bay being almost like a showcase, you know, showcasing, because that's why a lot of people come here. I think tourists come here. So we're talking about something which could actually be a draw for people coming into Golden Bay, which could help the economy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I look, already people come here because of the novel people who live here. They want to see who are the people in Golden Bay who walk the streets. It's a fascinating place. I get the councillors even saying to me, oh, we want to come to that meeting in Golden Bay because we hear it's pretty feisty and interesting over there. And they come because there's a bit of excitement here. Don't blame them from some of those worlds over there. So it's a really interesting energy we already have here. And I do believe it starts with ourselves, and then it's about how do we get on, even if we're talking about talking together in workshops or visioning workshops or whatever, when we're in that space, how are we together? Because if we can't do that, what's the point of trying to put it out further? And that's why there is a place for just holding on the action. And, you know, that is a measured thing. I don't believe in just leaping in and going, oh, we've got to take action. I actually don't think that's the right way. I think we need to be naturally and intuitively impulsed into action, as it feels right when it's a natural flow from my own integration and my own clarity. Really.
Absolutely. And for me, I know that it's very much a process of really listening, you know, really listening to what needs to happen next, and not taking any of it personally. It's not, you know, it's not about any of us individually. It's about what we can do together and how we can do that together and how we can have fun doing that together as well.
Totally. There's a lot of letting go of outcomes and expectations. I think that's huge too, because we put a pressure on ourselves with a lot of that stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So this will have its own life, won't it? We will evolve, and we're here to really sort of guardian that along a bit and coax it along a bit. And
yeah, you could call it divine timing. But you know when something is right, because things just flow and click, and something comes out of left field that you weren't expecting, and you know. So instead of I know when I'm trying too hard, and I do that sometimes when I'm trying too hard and I'm banging my head against a brick wall, and then I just go, wait, stop, breathe, drop in, drop that struggle, fight. You never can lose anything. That's another important thing that I keep reminding myself. I think we do that sense of urgency because if we don't do it now, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not true. Everything's there. Everything's already there. Anything that is ours to have is already there. So yes. It's a trust and faith.
Yeah, and it's about no longer buying into acting from fear or from resistance, or as you say, and all of that creates that kind of impatience and efforting and pushing and anger and frustration.
Pushes it away.
It's more about really, it's doing it from a place of actually from serving the vision, serving the possibility, serving the future.
Yes.
Which is a very positive place. It's a very loving, joyful, creative place. It doesn't mean to say there's no challenges. There's certainly challenges all the way along the line, and you know, we will get frustrated at times, but it's like, it's just really, where is that energy coming from?
I like what you said then, was that serving the vision. It's true. That's, you know, I mean, seeing yourself as more of a conduit for something to come through rather than pushing the old ego agenda, you know.
And what I realized on Sunday at the meeting was that the people will join in with this who are already sort of resonating with it,
They want it.
They're really ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's very exciting.
It is. And it's surprising who is ready and wanting it. It's not often the people you think
Yes.
It's often the ones you really don't think or expect.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. And so that was why when in the lead up to the forum on Sunday, I was determined that everybody in the Bay who might be interested would know about this. You know, mm. so I put out lots of publicity and ads in the GB Weekly, and I know you did too. Mm. And so because I wasn't making the assumption that it was going to be, you know,
certain type of people,
certain, yeah. you know, the usual suspects. I was yeah. really hoping that it would be a big cross section of people mm. who would be drawn there. And I'm still holding that,
Yay.
You know, that yes. space that yeah. there are many people out there who have a part to play mm. or already playing a part.
Mm. Yeah. And we don't know what that part is.
But absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So, mm. so I know... some of the issues that you're particularly passionate about at the moment are the land use issue and the water issue. Do you want to say anything about that? Because this is where the gap comes between where we want to go and mm. what's actually happening now and maybe mm. what then needs to happen to mm. move the next step.
Yeah, well, I think the thing is, I think it really does come down to a lot of the resistance comes down to fear, and the reason things aren't happening like we'd like them to is fear. And there's so much control and regulation in our world, and particularly in councils, it's just more and more and more layers of rules and regulations, all attempting to control what might get out of control. I mean, I've been looking at this lately. What's behind it? It's the fear that humans left to themselves are going to get out of control. It's a really interesting thing to ponder. Why do we have that fear, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, evolutionary-wise, there's a place for it. You know, we've come from some pretty, you know, if you just look at humans from an evolutionary point of view, we've come from some pretty rough backgrounds, you know, where we're just dog eat dog and fight for survival, and there's still going on in parts of the world in extreme ways at the moment. But, you know, realizing we've evolved to another place where we don't need babying and nannying and controlling and policing. And in fact, all that does to our autonomous beings is make us feel stifled and rebellious and angry. And, you know, I mean, this, humans need space to flourish and put themselves out there in their dreams. But it's a very hard world to do that in at the moment. I know some people just completely bypass the system, and they're wonderful. They're our role models, you know. They're the role models who are already saying, well, I don't actually subscribe to this world, but not from the place of rebellion, because that just creates more of the same. And you do see people getting into that stuff the system sort of energy. That's not the answer, because all you're doing then is the same on the other side. It's a similar energy of resistance and rebellion. But it's something about honouring, being grateful. I know it's hard sometimes for all of those things that have led us to this point, so that we can take the next leap into the next space where we are living our joy and our creativity. And, you know, and I think the change comes on the outside as we change the inside. And so when we really know that and believe it, the more people, there's going to be a tipping point where the rules and regulations and things will fade, and the systems will start to support us instead of oppose us.
Yeah. Mm. You see that coming in your council work? Is that
visible? Yeah, I do. I do. You have to be incredibly optimistic.
Yeah.
You do.
Persistent.
I have to. Yeah, I have to. That's my, persistent, not giving up on it. I see so many people I talk to who are discouraged and given up. They've given up, and I'm just going, well, I can't afford to do that. Mm. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live my life in despair and despondency and powerlessness. It's just not appealing. It's never been in my character. Sure, I have moments of that, and I do get down and, you know, annoyed and frustrated and discouraged. But in the main, I already know the new world's here. I know it. So I might as well just stay on board with it.
Mm. So you're doing the job you do, particularly out there every day, sort of in the field, as it were. You really are practicing being love in action, aren't you?
I do.
Walking the talk.
I have plenty of moments I forget it, but more and more and more and more, because you do realise after a while it's the only way to be if you want to be happy.
Otherwise you burn yourself out, don't you?
There's a good saying, it's an old one, but I like it. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there trying to prove they're right, and they may be in kind of one way, you know, they are right in that they've got better ideas about how we can live. But there's something about the energy behind how it's done that doesn't help bring in the new world at all.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. So how do you sustain yourself in that?
Oh. How do I sustain myself? I do have some really good support networks, as you know, mm. women's groups and not so much groups where we're meeting. Just I have good connections with people who remind me who I am, and we remind each other who we are, and it's good to come back to that. How else do I do it? I think I do it because I know that what I'm putting in is taking me somewhere. I do have the vision that sustains me. If I didn't have that, I think it would be really hard work.
So it's a kind of multi-level process, isn't it? Because you have the vision and you're working towards the vision, and at the same time, by working towards it, you're also evolving yourself. You know, you're developing yourself. And so as we develop ourselves and evolve those skills of being really skilled in how we interact with everybody in our world, then that's how we actually create the
Indeed.
New world.
And while it's nice to have the destination and arrive there maybe one day, it's not about that. It truly is about how you live your life on the way to the destination. That's where the excitement comes in. Mm. I think if I arrived at the destination, I'd be rather bored. So you know, it's about what you learn along the way. And like I said, for me, being in this politics has been the fastest tracking self-growth I've done. You know, it's been good.
So it's about living it now, and at the same time, it's like on the one hand we're living it now, and on the other hand we're holding the vision for the future. And it's both.
Yeah. And I know quite a far out thing to say, but I don't believe in time, you know, so the future and the past, it's all here now. Everything is here, and it's where I want to put my focus. So if I keep focusing on the old that's passing away, I'll just keep seeing it. And this is what the news does to you. It keeps reiterating that the world's a tragedy and terrible. But if you put your focus on some of the amazing things that are happening and coming in, but you have to want that. You have to want it. You can't just say, oh, I'm looking around, there's no evidence of it. It's because you're not looking for it. So it is choice. It's really about choice. Where do I put my focus? Where do I want to put my energy? If I keep putting it with that old stuff that's passing away, I'm just going to keep it in my world.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't mean turning a blind eye. You know, I'm not talking about that living in some nirvana kind of la-la land that's really a cop-out. I'm talking about you deal with something as it comes up, but you deal with it from your enlightened or expanded perspective, not from the old world.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's a moment by moment choice, isn't
it?
It's like, you know, do I choose to stay, to keep my energy high and happy and clear and therefore create what I want around me? Or do I focus on what's not working and how miserable I am?
Exactly.
It's a choice.
And it's, you know, there's magic in everything that comes your way. If I can see everything that comes my way, no matter how devastating or awful or traumatic or dramatic, there's a gift in there. And when you live your life that way, it's exciting. Every moment's an adventure. Okay, what's this bringing to me? Why is this coming to my door? I like that saying, dance with what comes to your door. Don't try and run and hide and say, oh, I thought I'd outgrown that. Why is this coming back up again? You know, it's more like, wow, this is coming up to show me something, to take me to the next level. This is something to be embraced and gone along with. And who am I in that? Who am I when that comes to my door?
Absolutely. And as I'm listening to you, I can feel my excitement. And yes, this is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And this is what we're living. But on the other hand, I think it's also important to say that, you know, that process can be very challenging. You know, especially, and I think here in Golden Bay, because it is such a soul sanctuary, because it is such an inward place in a way, even though we have this beautiful community, a lot of us live quite inward, quiet lives here. And that's why one of the reasons we're drawn here. And in a way, I mean, and I think that's why I keep being drawn back to the Bay because this is a place where I can do that sort of shedding of the old inside myself. And so I know a lot of people, particularly over the winter, they're really in a quite a deep inward process, which can be pretty challenging. So
indeed.
I think it's worth acknowledging that. And I think that's the other reason why conversation, a particular sort of conversation, is so useful. When we really talk to each other from that deep place of what's really going on,
yes,
then it, you know, I no longer feel isolated. I no longer feel it's just about me. I know that we're in a collective process.
Mm.
And the more that we talk about that, the more we can support each other and more easily we can move forward.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely, Rose. And I think a lot of us, you know, we also do that inner thing from our own gestation and growth and integration or whatever. But there's also that place where it's safe there, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes I can keep all of my jewels or my wisdoms or whatever to myself, or just share it with people I know are open to it. And this is another challenge I'm really going through at the moment. I had a trip over the hill with one of the counselors the other day, and I just heard myself speaking like him, trying to, you know, and I thought, this is not me at all, but I am playing out that old thing instead of coming from who I truly am. There was a part of me just still going through that old, this is how these people expect me to be, or this is their world, so I'm going to join them in that world. Now, there's nothing wrong with joining people in that world if you actually then taking it to the next level and elevating it. I like that. I keep bringing it up, sayings that are popping into my head. I like that saying, to always leave someone uplifted. When I join people in their grieving and their pain and their, you know, their pain bodies, there's a place to it, but only if I can take it to the next level. If I stay there and keep, you know, engaging on that level, I'm out of integrity with myself and it doesn't feel good. And I come away from those conversations thinking, oh, I wish I'd been more true to me.
Mm.
Because deep down, I guarantee that person's soul on some level wants that.
Yes, yes. And I think it's really important to be kind and gentle with ourselves and,
yeah,
you know, not get impatient and chastise ourselves when we don't always get it right. You know, it's just it is that process of just noticing and say, oh, okay, oh, I could have done that a bit better next time. Maybe next time I'll do it a bit better. And
that's right.
Just reminding ourselves, because I think it is easy to, oh,
I can be very hard on myself. Like you, Rose.
Yeah,
we've all got that one, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not perfect. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we're in a process. I mean, we're in a process of evolution and development and learning and practice, and it is a practice.
Mm.
You know, so it's, you know, you can either focus on the goal or you can focus on the practice. You know, and I think we are all, those of us who choose to step into it, vehicles for something new and magnificent to come through.
Mm. Yeah. And look for it. Mm. Look for what's good. You know, look for what's amazing and what's magical in every person and every situation, because there's something
absolutely
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I can't think of anything in particular.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, I'm very delighted with this work though, Rose, and feel this is very timely. I think the turnout, you know, at the workshop we had the other day was telling, you know, that people are hungry for this now.
Mm.
It's time, and people's own inner souls are pushing for this at the moment. You know, it's no longer business as usual.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We can't. I just think we're at the point where we cannot just close our eyes, and we've all done it, numbed out and, you know, distracted. Distraction's a great one in this world. There's so much to distract us. But noticing when we're distracted and just going, you know, there's nothing wrong with the things that are actually distracting us as such, but what are they doing? Are they taking us away from ourselves or bringing us more into ourselves?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so we're in a process of collective awakening, and it's time for action and wise action, collective action, loving action, joyful, exciting action. Yay!
Yay!
Bring it on.
Bring it on, indeed. Thank you.
So thank you, Martine, for the work that you're doing, and thank you for coming and having a conversation with me today.
Thank you, Rose. I always love it. I wonder where the time goes when we talk.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thank you.
Mm.